Hare Krishna. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas present here. Before we could speak a little bit on the subject matter of Lord Ramchandra today, we have not taken any verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita on special request that we discuss Ramayana. And therefore we have a verse from Sri Valmiki Ramayana, the first canto, which is called Balakand, chapter 1. And this is verse number 2 onwards till 4, 2, 3 and 4, where the 16 qualities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by Valmiki Muni. So we'll go through a few of those qualities. 16 is just outside the scope of the time we have. But we'll go through a few of those qualities that are mentioned by Valmiki Muni. So it is explained that one time, the son of Parikshit Maharaj, Janmejaya, he did not want to listen to anyone or anything directly. And Vaishampayan Rishi was trying his level best to try and get to Janmejaya, crack through his barrier, crack through the wall that he had made, and speak to him about the Lord. But Janmejaya was very hesitant, very resistant, wasn't opening up. And then Vaishampayan told him two words. He said, Vanabhangam and Goharanam. When he said Vanabhangam and Goharanam, immediately Janmejaya's attention was, he caught his attention. And then Janmejaya asked Vaishampayan, what is the meaning of this Vanabhangam and Goharanam? Vaishampayan said, there were two characters, Ravan and Duryodhan. Ravan and Duryodhan were, both of them were the greatest fools that ever existed. So then Vaishampayan was asked by Janmejaya, Ravan and Duryodhan, tell me more about them. And this is how Vaishampayan spoke to Janmejaya, the Ramayana and the Mahabharata. From the Ramayana he spoke about the Vanabhangam story, where Hanuman destroyed the Ashoka grove of Ravana. And from the Mahabharata he told the story of Goharanam, how the cows of the king of Virat were kidnapped and how Arjun got them back. And got an opportunity to speak the Ramayana and the Mahabharata from two words, Vanabhangam and Goharanam, attracted him to hear. And after the Ramayana and the Mahabharata were over, then Vaishampayan said to Janmejaya, please tell me, what are the four things that you have understood from these books? From the Mahabharata and Ramayana, what are the four things that you have understood? Vaishampayan asked this question and Janmejaya said, well, you are asking me what are the four things I understood. I heard in all of both of these books, Mahabharata and Ramayana, the four things are dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And everyone in the world is attracted to dharma, artha, kama and moksha. But I must say something and confess something. After hearing from both of these books elaborately on the subject matter of dharma, artha, kama and moksha, I have no attraction for either of those. So then Vaishampayan asked Janmejaya, I have been talking to you from the Mahabharata and Ramayana, pastimes of Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra from the Mahabharata, pastimes of Lord Ramchandra from the Ramayana, and I elaborately described all these four topics. If you are not attracted to these four, then what are you attracted to? Janmejaya said, I am only attracted to one thing. I am attracted to hearing from your lotus mouth the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ram and Krishna. For my entire lifetime, I can just sit here and listen to the glorious narrations of the Mahabharata and the Ramayana from you, not for dharma, artha, kama or moksha, but simply to absorb my consciousness in the glorious activities of Lord Ram and Krishna from these two books. And therefore, hearing from the pastimes of the Lord, hearing from the Ramayana, hearing from the Mahabharata, hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing from the Gita is extremely purifying, and it cleanses one's heart of the desire for sense gratification, for economic development, or for that matter, it even cleanses the heart of the desire for spiritual emancipation or liberation. And thus, when one listens to the pastimes of the Lord, they are very purifying to the heart. But along with being purifying, they are also very instructive. And in particular, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are very instructive because Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam. If you carefully see the Ramayana, in the Ramayana, the first canto is Balakand, the childhood pastimes of Lord Ram, Balakand. And in the Balakand, there are only 8 verses describing the childhood of Lord Ram. There's a whole canto entitled Balakand, and only 7 to 8 verses describe childhood activities of Lord Ram, because Lord Ram has no Bal Leela. Whereas if we look at Lord Krishna, there are 47 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam describing only about the childhood activities of the Lord till he turned to be 11 years when he left for Mathura. 7 verses of Bal Leela for Ram and 47 chapters of Bal Leela for Krishna. Why the difference? Because Ram is Maryada Purushottam. The focus is not on Bal Leela. No one learns from the childhood of the Lord. It's for relishing the sweetness. And Krishna is Leela Purushottam. He being Leela Purushottam, 47 chapters describe about his childhood pastimes and activities where one can relish the sweetness of Lord Krishna's pastimes. Of course, they are instructive as well. But Lord Ram's life in particular is extremely instructive, he being Maryada Purushottam. You know? Therefore, they say, follow the words of Krishna and follow the example of Ram. You know, we cannot follow the example of Krishna, Ras Leela. We cannot follow the example of Krishna, stealing of butter. We cannot follow the example of Krishna, trying to on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna's telling, you know, Arjun to kill in a certain way. We can't follow the example of Krishna. We can follow the words of Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita. But when it comes to Lord Ramchandra, one can emulate and follow the example of Lord Ramchandra because he is Maryada Purushottam. Although sometimes on a festival day, there is a massive feast, and then there is a feast, then we may like one particular item in the feast a lot. Let's say, for example, we may like halwa a lot. But we don't just fill up our plate with halwa. On a plate, a full meal, there are different rasas. There are different flavors. There is sabji, there is chapati, there is rice, there is dal, there is the savories, there is salad, and then there is sweet. A full meal is full of many different rasas, many different flavors, many different tastes. We don't just take one flavor, you know. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, then there are so many different flavors to the different incarnations of the Lord. We may like to hear about Krishna a lot, sweet pastimes like the halwa, but we also need the bitter Karela preparation on the plate to digest, which is the example given by Lord Ramchandra. A complete meal is all different flavors and rasas. And therefore we find Ram giving a certain flavor through his pastimes, Krishna giving a certain flavor through his pastimes, Lord Narasimhadev giving a certain flavor through his pastimes. Narasimhadev has no Bal Leela. Imagine childhood pastimes of Lord Narasimhadev. There is no childhood pastimes of Lord Narasimhadev. There is no lecture, no Gita, no nothing. It's direct surgery. You know, he comes from the pillar and there's direct surgery on Hiranyakashipu. You know, he's the original gastroenteritic surgeon. Straight surgery on Hiranyakashipu. So if we carefully observe the wide gamut of the personalities of Godhead, their incarnations, then we see there are multiple flavors and rasas. And each incarnation has a prominent rasa, you know. And Lord Ram's prominent rasa is Maryada. Krishna's prominent rasa is Leela. Lord Chaitanya's prominent rasa is Audharya, you know. Each incarnation, each form of the Lord has a prominent flavor, a prominent rasa that is there in his personality. So Lord Ram, of course, is Maryada Purushottam and teaches by his example how to live a life. He plays the role of an excellent human being and teaches through his example how to live a perfect life as a human being and be a devotee. So this verse is a question asked by Valmiki to Narad Muni. Konu asmin sampratam loke gunavan kahascha viryavan dharmagyascha kritagyascha satyavakyo dridhavrataha. So this talks about the first six qualities, and the first quality is gunavan. Gunavan means a man of virtue. Who is a man of virtue? One who possesses a quality that is appreciated and commended by everyone. You know, we may have certain qualities, but not everyone appreciates that. A quality that is appreciated by one and all, that makes a person gunavan. And what is that quality in Lord Ramchandra? That quality is called saushilya. Saushilya means a very great personality, one who has three things: noble birth, tremendous wealth, an extreme degree of wisdom. Generally, these three things bring pride, you know. Kunti Maharani says, Janma, Aishwarya, Shrutaha, Shribhir, Edamanaham, Madappuman. High birth, knowledge, beauty, wealth brings false pride. The two sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvar and Manigreev, were extremely proud for having been born of Kuvera, having such tremendous wealth, being learned, being beautiful. They were proud, you know. People are proud of anything and everything, practically speaking. In this material world, one can be proud of anything. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, a beggar is proud of his penny. In Bombay, we have this big Dadar bridge, you know. Big bridge, railway bridge. And thousands of people pass that bridge every day. So one beggar was sitting there, and another beggar came and said to the beggar, hey, I heard that you have arranged for your daughter's marriage. I said, of course, yes, yes. My daughter is getting married. I heard that you are also giving a very big dowry to your daughter. The beggar said, yeah, I'm giving big dowry to my daughter and my son-in-law. So this beggar said, what are you giving as dowry? He said, I'm giving the whole Dadar bridge. My son-in-law can sit anywhere and beg. You know, he can sit anywhere on this bridge and beg. Srila Prabhupada used to say, a beggar is proud of his penny. In this world, even if one doesn't have virtuous qualities, one can have a lot of haughtiness, you know, air around oneself because of wealth, because of wisdom, you know, because of beauty. All these things bring haughtiness, pride, and one becomes inaccessible to others. One is not willing to mix with the general people. One is not willing to sit with general people. One is not willing to sit with people who don't have wealth. For a very wealthy man to come and sit with a beggar in the street and share his food is very tough. You know, for someone who's of a high noble birth to come and sit with someone who's not born in such a family is very difficult. Someone who's a king or a queen, someone who's born in a Brahmana family. There's so much casteism sometimes, you know. Not wanting to sit with people like that. And people who are very learned, very wise, very scholarly. My God, very hard to explain things to people. Einstein, Albert Einstein, and his name was Charles Weizmann, the Israeli Prime Minister then. They were on a ship through the Atlantic crossing. And as soon as they reached America, all the television crew and different reporters were waiting. And as soon as they got off, they came to Weizmann and said, sir, we have a question for you. You know, you are with Albert Einstein and he's just put forth the theory of relativity of space and time. Did you have a discussion with him? And we are eager to know, what did he talk to you? What did he speak about the theory? Please let us know. You know, and Weizmann said, we definitely spoke. Albert Einstein very elaborately explained to me the theory. He said, so what did you understand? What was your conclusion? Weizmann said, my conclusion was he has understood the theory perfectly well. You know, for me, I did not understand a single word of it. for a wise man to be able to convey those ideas to others in a language that they can understand is genius. Anyone can have scholarship, anyone can have knowledge, but to be able to convey those ideas in a language that people can understand and relate to is wisdom. You know? And therefore, Lord Ramchandra, born in a noble dynasty, the Surya Vamsha, extremely wealthy, with noble birth, and extremely wise. Gunavan means saushilya. That he was willing to move with natural grace and intimacy with people who didn't have either. They were not born in noble families. They didn't have wealth. And they didn't even have wisdom. That is called Gunavan. One who's very big, but is willing to come down to people who are not as big as him, are not equal to him, come down to them and pull all of them in his fold. And therefore we find Lord Ramchandra, you know. He can move around with a tribal aborigine king like Guha in the forest event, and he has such intimate, such close relationship with Guha. In fact, Guha, when he was making Lord Ram cross the river Ganga, Guha wanted to wash the feet of Lord Ram. And when he washed the feet of Lord Ramchandra, he said, "I want to wash your feet because your dust is too powerful, my dear Lord. Just before you came here, I heard the news that you put your lotus feet on a stone. And that stone turned into a woman, Ahalya. Ahalya was cursed, and when he put his lotus feet on that stone, you know, she came back to her original form." He said, "I just heard that when you put your feet, the dust of your lotus feet is so powerful that that stone turned into a woman. My boat is inanimate like the stone. If you put your lotus feet straight on the boat to cross the Ganga, my dear Lord, if she turns into a woman, I already have one wife. You know, I can't take another wife now. It's too much to maintain too. So please let me wash your feet." So he washed the lotus feet of the Lord and took the Charanamrit and looked at Sita and was giving a smile, you know. Good. He didn't give it to Sita. He shared it with Lakshman. He shared with his soldiers. Didn't give a drop to Sita. The second time again he washed. Lord Ram said, "What are you doing? Only washing my feet, take me." He said, "No, no, some particles may cling, they are too powerful." Washed them again several times and drank the Charanamrit and kept looking at Sita and smiling and didn't give a drop to Sita. Because Guha was a tortoise in the Viraja, you know. And one day, the tortoise came to taste the nectar of the lotus feet of Mahavishnu. And when he was trying to lick the lotus feet of Mahavishnu, Lakshmi was so upset, drove it away, you know. "Get lost. Oh, you nasty tortoise coming and touching the, licking the feet of my lord," just drove it away. So then the tortoise came as Guha and said, "That time as Lakshmi, you stopped me from licking the feet, right? Now you keep looking, I'll take the Charanamrita." You know, you keep looking at the Charanamrita, I'll taste this. You have a good time. I'm having a good time. Great time, you know. And therefore, Lord Ram was moving around with tribal kings like Guha, with monkeys like Sugriva. Where's the noble birth? Born in a monkey family. Where is the wisdom? He was simply looking at having now two wives, Tara and Ruma, his own wife, and the wife of Bali, his brother, who was killed by Lord Ram. With two wives, having a great time. In fact, he even forgot his responsibility to Ram. Lord Ram had said that after the Chaturmasya, you must go and look for my wife Sita. But so engrossed in sensual indulgences, so engrossed in sensual delights, so engrossed in enjoying the position and the possessions of Kishkindha, that he even forgot his responsibility towards Lord Ramchandra. You know? And Lord Ram, Gunavan, Saushilya, was willing to move around with him, made him his friend. And Vibhishan was born in a Rakshasa clan. Lord Ram was willing to accept him in his fold. Therefore, one of the qualities of a great person is that without discrimination, he comes down to everyone's level and is willing to make them his own. That is the Supreme Lord Sri Ramachandra. His quality is he is willing to give shelter to one and all, regardless of whether one has qualification or no qualification. Lord Chaitanya also, we see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, patra apatra na dekhi sthana sthan. Patra apatra na dekhi. Who is patra? Who is apatra? Who is qualified? Who is disqualified? He didn't see. Came down to the level of everyone. To Prakashananda Saraswati, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, transformed them. Of course, they were learned scholars. Transformed them. Transformed so many people, so many personalities. You know, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has this quality called Saushilya, which means one may have so much, but one is willing to come down to the level of people who don't have it and accept them, you know. Srila Prabhupada was like that. Srila Prabhupada had the quality of Saushilya. He was accepting anyone and everyone. Going around and despite, he was coming from Vrindavan, a pure devotee of the Lord, coming from Radha Damodar temple, absolutely absorbed in Krishna. Such a learned scholar. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Learned. So learned. Steeping in devotion was his heart. You know, culturally he was coming from such a different cultural background. And Her Grace Vishakha Devi was recently explaining at the Buckland retreat where we went, you know, that once when Srila Prabhupada was recounting his days, he started talking about his troubles. He started saying, so when I went to America, there were so many difficulties, so many troubles, so many problems. He kept saying, and as an example, there's only one example he gave. He didn't talk about how people didn't understand him. He didn't talk about the crazy guy David on the loft who went bonkers and was trying to hit him. He didn't talk about any of those things. Prabhupada only gave one example. So many difficulties, so many troubles, he said, and one example he gave. He said, so when I went to, you know, Butler, Pennsylvania, I was at that house of Gopal and Sally, and I opened the refrigerator and there was meat. He said, I opened the refrigerator and there was meat. And I had to keep all my vegetables there and I was cooking from the vegetables. For him, it was just coming from such a different background. He had vomited out, you know, the chicken soup that was forcibly fed to him by the doctor. On the advice of the doctor, he had thrown it out, even as a child. And from all the difficulties that he went through, this stayed so much on his mind that when he was talking of his difficulties, he said, when I opened the refrigerator, there was meat, you know. Coming from such a noble family, coming from such a powerful Vaishnava lineage, coming from the holy Dham of Vrindavan, carrying Krishna in his heart, such a learned personality, Saushilya, making himself available to the great grandson of Henry Ford, a big man, you know, Ambarish Prabhu, and even making himself available to a man who didn't even know who his father was. Came from such a background and didn't even know who his father was. But no discrimination. Absolutely no discrimination. You know, that is Saushilya. So Valmiki Muni talks about Gunavan. The Lord Ramchandra is Gunavan, and Gunavan means Saushilya. Despite being very high, one can come down and make oneself available and accessible to one and all. Srila Prabhupada was once sitting in Juhu and on the terrace. And as he was sitting, suddenly one man just walked in. He only had a little towel, little kind of gamcha. He wasn't even fully dressed. He had a little turban on his head and a little gamcha, and his whole body was soiled. He was dark and very robust and sturdy. He came in and put a flower at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and left. Didn't even say a single word. And Srila Prabhupada said, looks like he's one of the workers, you know, at the Juhu scheme. He looks like one of the workers. And Srila Prabhupada had a tear in his eye. And he said, just see, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. He's coming and offering a flower. He has nothing. He's just a worker. His body is soiled. And he's coming and offering a flower, and that flower can touch me. If one offers a flower to Krishna, will it not touch him? Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees, will it not touch the Lord's heart? If I can feel so touched that this man is offering, Srila Prabhupada, you know, making himself accessible practically to one and all, and the whole history. If you read the book Miracle at Second Avenue by His Holiness Mukunda Goswami Maharaj, such a recount of all what was happening, you know, at the Bowery, and how Srila Prabhupada made himself available to all of these people. Did not think, you know, how can I sit with these people? Lord Ram didn't think, how can I mix with Guha? He's an aborigine. How can I mix with Sugriva? He's a monkey. Didn't think like that. You know, so the first quality is Gunavan. Konosmin sampratam loke Gunavan kascha Viryavan. The second quality in Lord Ramchandra is Viryavan. Viryavan means one who is very courageous. One who is extremely valorous, courageous, extremely powerful. And Lord Ramchandra was trained personally by Vishwamitra Muni in the art of military warfare, bows and arrows, you know. Vishwamitra Muni came and took Lord Ram and Lakshman away from the house of Dasharath to kill the demons in the forest. And when he took them away, little boys, in the evening, for the first time, both Ram and Lakshman were lying down on the ground on the green grass there. First time, princes brought up in luxury and comfort. Now they were lying down in this green grass. Next morning, when Vishwamitra Muni got up, he saw Ram and Lakshman lying on the grass. Vishwamitra was the first person to get darshan of Ram and Lakshman sleeping outside of the palaces. And when he saw this, he chanted this verse. Kausalya supraja rama purva sandhya pravartate uttishta narashardula trailokyam daiva manhikam. O son of Kausalya, wake up. The sun has risen. The sun has risen in the eastern direction. Please wake up, because this sun can only illuminate the world outside. Unless you wake up, people won't be illuminated inside. Please wake up and illuminate the hearts of the world. He trained them in how to use weapons. And then they went into the forest. And as the sages were performing the sacrifices, the first demon came. And the first demon was a she-demon. Like in Krishna Leela, the first demon was a she-demon, Putana. In Ram Leela also, the first demon was a she-demon. Her name was Tataka. And Ram said, I can't kill her like that. Krishna, when he saw Putana, he closed his eyes to kill Putana because he thought, my God, I want to respect these ladies. Now she's taken the form of a demon and she's troubling everyone. If I have to kill her, but I don't want to kill a demon who's in the form of a woman. So he just closed the eyes to show respect to her womanhood. Lord Ram was asking Vishwamitra, I'm supposed to kill Tataka, she's a lady. Lady demon, how do I, the first demon to kill is a lady demon? Vishwamitra said, she's a lady, but she's a demoness and she's creating so much havoc all around. My dear Lord, my dear Ram, kill him, kill her. Lord Ram then took his weapons and killed Tataka. Tataka represents avidya or ignorance. The root cause of all suffering is avidya, you know. Everything in the material world is born out of ignorance of one's identity. Shankaracharya explains, Aham Brahmasmi, that is the first Vedanta Sutra. Aham Brahmasmi doesn't refer to I am God. Aham Brahmasmi is I am the soul. I am the spirit soul. Ignorance of one's identity, ignorance of God, and ignorance of one's relationship with God is avidya. And this avidya is the cause of all suffering, you know. Lord Ram killed Tataka, and therefore when one chants the holy name and takes shelter of the holy name, this holy name can kill the ignorance within the heart. To kill ignorance, two things are required. One is the shelter of the holy name, and second is shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books.
When we read Srila Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's commentaries, and we chant the holy name, knowledge from Prabhupada's books and shelter of the holy name destroys avidya or tataka within the heart. You know, there was in one of our medical college programs in Bombay, one boy started taking a lot of interest in Krishna consciousness. You know, he started showing great interest in studying and understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So the devotee was preaching there, he was a doctor.
Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Jai Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.
The devotee who was preaching in the college was a doctor, and because he was preaching in a medical college, and this boy started showing such interest in the Gita, became a very serious devotee, and this preacher was telling him, take it easy, go slow, because in India parents get very upset. They're very scared, you know. They're very scared that as soon as the son takes too much interest in Krishna consciousness, they think that he's going to be a sadhu, he's going to be a brahmachari, he'll become a monk. Very, very scared. Therefore, they will say, beta, upar upar se jagarna, jada andar ne ghusna. Just do it on the surface. Don't go too deep. Just go to the temple, ring the bell, put a coin, take a little laddu, come back. You don't have to go too deep. And don't associate with them too much. When you associate, that's when the trouble begins. You can take darshan of all the Prabhujis and Swamijis. Don't go close. And the last thing you should do is listen to their classes. Because that's what changes. Gyan, knowledge destroys avidya. You know. Prema bhakti jaha hoite avidya vinash jate. Whenever there is knowledge that is heard and shelter of Krishna through the holy name, as devotion to the Lord comes up in the heart, service comes up, avidya vinash jate, where there is prema bhakti, there cannot be avidya. You know. So he said to him, take it easy. Go slow. Chant, but you don't have to be so expressive about it in your family and everything. He said, no, no, Prabhu. Last time I went home, mother was very happy that I was chanting and everything. In fact, she told me something. She said, when I was in her womb, she was reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. She was reading Srila Prabhupada's Gita when I was in the womb. And she said, I was reading, but since I'm a simple lady, I never went to college or university, philosophy, I couldn't understand much. But still I appreciated what Swamiji did. One Maharashtrian simple lady in a village. And then she said to the son, my dear child, so many years passed by and I forgot about it all. And you went to Bombay to study and came in contact with the devotees and now you are studying the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now that you have understood, you please explain to me. You know, you please explain to me. In the womb, the influence of the Bhagavad Gita that she read, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, had such influence and investment on the child in the womb that years later, that investment fructified. Therefore, no investment is a bad investment. In preaching Krishna consciousness, at some point of time, what is invested fructifies when the situation is just right. Whatever is investment comes back, you know, and people take shelter of Krishna. And therefore, Tataka represents avidya. Lord Ram killed Tataka. Avidya was destroyed. Thereafter, there were other demons. One demon, his name was Subahu. And Lord Ram shot his weapon called Bala, his arrow called Bala, and killed Subahu. And Subahu represents all the past sinful reactions. All the sinful reactions coming from the past. When one takes shelter of the Lord, avidya is gone. Tataka is destroyed. Subahu is killed. All the past sinful reactions, karmani nirdahati, kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. All the past sinful reactions are destroyed by taking shelter of the Lord. One person came to Srila Prabhupada and he was talking in Hindi. He was saying, kya Swamiji aap kya bolte hain, huh? Krishna bolte hain paap chodo. He was saying, Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, what are you saying? Krishna is saying give up all your sins. Srila Prabhupada said, कौन बोलता है? Krishna कभी नहीं बोला पाप छोड़ो. Krishna बोला धर्म छोड़ो. पाप मैं छुड़ाऊंगा. You know, Srila Prabhupada said to him, Krishna never said you give up your sinful things. Krishna said you first abandon all varieties of false religion and come to me. I take responsibility of freeing you from all your sinful reactions. And I take responsibility of freeing you from your sinful tendencies. You first come and take shelter of me. Srila Prabhupada told this man, you know. And therefore, Subahu represents past sinful reactions. And then there was another demon there, Maricha. Lord Ram killed Tataka, ignorance. Lord Ram killed Subahu, past sins. Lord Ram did not kill Maricha. He shot his weapon, the Atibala weapon, arrow. And Maricha was flung into the oceans 800 miles away. That's quite a lot, you know. One arrow shot and 800 miles away Maricha flew way into the ocean. And what does Maricha represent? Maricha represents, after taking to the process of devotional service, when there are still tendencies to deviate, tendencies to commit sinful activities, tendencies to go back to the old ways, Lord Ram takes responsibility for a sincere devotee to shoot his weapon and take these tendencies away from him. You know, because these are some things to come in the future. After taking shelter of the Lord, we don't know what are the tendencies that will come up. So Lord Ram did not kill Maricha. He only shot Maricha in a way that Maricha was flung away. And therefore, Lord Ram promises that anyone who sincerely practices devotional service, he protects him. All those tendencies may come up. And even sometimes a devotee may be taken away from the path of devotional service for a while. But he's brought back. Brought back. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni talks about how when one has tasted the nectar of devotional service, even if someone leaves, the memory of that nectar brings him back. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary to that verse, explains that the Supreme Lord goes. A person who has left Krishna consciousness, the Supreme Lord goes in the memory of such a person and hugs him. Hugs him. That rasa inside brings such a devotee back. And therefore, Patanjali in his Yoga Sutras explains, what is habit? Habit means memories of past pleasures. All those things that gave us pleasures, those memories, make us repeat it again and again. I remember that when I ate this, oh, it was so good, so I want to eat it again. I remember that I had this, or I drank this, or I smoked this. That memory comes back again, so I want to repeat it. Patanjali Muni in the Yoga Sutra defines habit as memories of past pleasures. You know, so those conditionings come up again. And therefore bhakti is about replacing those memories. His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj explains that the process of devotional service is about collecting the bhakti memories. All the memories of our times with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, dancing in kirtan, festivals, those memories are assets. Because those memories come to rescue in time of dire emergency, when there is no taste for Krishna consciousness, when the previous conditionings are haunting, which is Maricha, when those conditionings come back haunting, those memories, bhakti memories, act like a weapon to pull those things away, and the devotee comes back to the path of Krishna consciousness. And therefore the material energy Maya is very powerful, very strong to bring the old conditionings back, you know. Very, very strong. His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj, the Indian one who left, you know. Once he was in the hospital here in England, and there was a nurse who came and he said, don't touch me. She said, Maharaj, Swami, monk, why? He said, no, you're Maya. So she was British. She didn't even know what Maya meant. She said, what is Maya? And he said, he used to be very hilarious sometimes. He said, Maya means the son of a rich brahmachari trying to drink a drop of water in a mirage. Now firstly, brahmachari is not rich. And if he is a rich brahmachari, then he can't have a son. He is a brahmachari. Now son of a rich brahmachari trying to drink a drop of water in the mirage is Maya. She was more bewildered. Totally confused. So he looked at her. She was so bewildered. She said, by the way, what is your name? She said, Maya. Her name was Maya. I don't know how she got that name. Her name was Maya. You know, Mahavishnu Maharaj is sometimes funny. He was once asked, you know, by someone, Maharaj, why don't you just stay in one place? Why are you just going around? You're an old man now. You're elderly. Why do you just go around all the places? He said, what can I do? They tell me. He said, Maharaj, who tells you to go? He said, every time I come, they say, Mahavishnu, go Swami. So when they say, go Swami, how can I stay in one place? You know, every time I come to the temple, they say, Mahavishnu, go Swami. So I can't stay. No, they say, go Swami. So I keep traveling and going around. He was very funny. Sometimes he would speak funny things. You know, Maya is illusion. Very, very powerful. All of us have seen Tom and Jerry. All our childhood we saw Tom and Jerry. You know. And Tom is somehow never able to catch Jerry. Tom is constantly running after Jerry, and Jerry is the hero, you know. Jerry is the hero. Tom is never able to catch Jerry and eat Jerry. So one time, Jerry's friend, one mouse, asked Jerry, hey Jerry, tell me something. Every single time Tom chases you, how do you always escape? Jerry said, Tom runs for food, I'll run for my life. You know? And when you run for your life, well, he's not running for food, but I run for my life. Maya is Tom. And all of us are Jerry's. You know. Only when we run for our life can Tom never catch us. Otherwise, Tom is there to catch. And a devotee who has taken shelter of Krishna becomes a hero like Jerry. Tom can never catch such a Jerry. Can never catch a Jerry because he knows my life is at stake. My life in Krishna consciousness is at stake. I have to keep running, running, running. These tendencies will come. These conditionings will come. Everything will come. It's all Tom. Tom is just rushing to catch me through my previous memories of what I did. You know, I have to run for my life. Unless I run for my life, Tom's going to catch me, you know. And therefore, Viryavan, Lord Ram is called Viryavan because of his courage, his valor, how he fought against the demons, Khara, Dushan, Ravan, he killed them, Tataka, Maricha, Subahu, and a devotee also becomes a warrior. A devotee is a warrior. Fights against the Tom, you know. Runs for life and fights against Tom. All these conditionings, all these memories, all these troubles, keeps fighting. After Prabhupada was Viryavan, courageous. Prabhupada said a preacher must have the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. He used to say that. Prabhupada would say that. He told it to, you know, His Grace Prabhu Vishnu Prabhu. Said, you have the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. And after the Juhu land came, Srila Prabhupada sat and gave a sigh of relief and said, it was a good fight, wasn't it? You know, it was a good fight, wasn't it? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries, explains that the cub of a lion, a tiny little cub, just a little tiny cub, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, just tiny little cub. But as soon as this little cub sees a huge elephant, the element of being Viryavan, fighting, is so strong in that cub, the cub goes to pounce upon the elephant, starts roaring loudly to go and fight with the elephant. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna, Ram, is like that lion, and all his devotees are like the cub. The elephant is Maya. Like Krishna and Lord Ram, fight valorously, Viryavan. The devotee is also a hero, a courageous warrior against the material energy, you know, and wants to fight it back. And therefore, devotees roar. They roar when they see Maya. They roar the holy name of Krishna, you know, They know only when they roar the holy name of Krishna will the Maya be taken care of. But the element is there to challenge and fight the material energy. And therefore shelter of the holy name is so much required to fight against these demoniac tendencies like Tataka, Maricha, Subahu within the heart. There was one man who used to come to our temple in Bombay. And when this man was coming, very funny man, he was a devotee of Ram. Because he was a devotee of Ram, he would only chant half mantra. He would chant 16 rounds, but he was chanting only half mantra. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Very funny man. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. But he used to like devotees, so he was coming to the temple because of being devotee of Ram, only chant half a mantra. You know? And then in Kirtan, Sunday Kirtans, he would come. He would love Kirtan and Prasad. And everyone would be chanting, he would jump up and down, only follow half the line. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. First line, silent, you know. And after a while, he just was advancing, dancing up and down, taking prasad. And suddenly one day I heard him chanting in Kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then I asked, why you changed? Why you changed from half a mantra to full mantra? He said, Prabhu, after all now I have just hooked here. And I have to live my whole life with all of you, so I might as well do what all of you do. And he became an amazing devotee. He started chanting 16. He was already chanting 16 rounds. But now he chants 16 rounds of the full mantra. Full mantra. And therefore taking shelter of the holy name can save one against these tendencies of avidya, tataka, past sins, subahu, and future distractions and conditionings that may come up, maricha. And that is the second quality of Lord Ram, Viryavan. The third quality of Lord Ramachandra here is Dharmagya. Dharmagya means one who knows the subtle implications of Dharma. He knows the subtle nuances and the intricacies of Dharma. And if we carefully read Valmiki's Ramayana, we find this book replete with examples of how Lord Ramachandra applies the principles of Dharma in his day-to-day life, you know. As a son, he followed his Dharma as a son and was extremely obedient to his father, Dasharatha Maharaj. Otherwise, children today, my God, sometimes for be obedient, so difficult. When one comes from a culture of obedience in the family, one is obedient to the spiritual master as well. When one comes from a culture of rebellion in the family, then there is rebellion against the spiritual master also. So there is double the work for the spiritual master to first make the person obedient and then teach him spirituality. You know, double work has to be done. So one comes from a culture of obedience. Naturally, it's very easy. Very easy to be obedient and subservient to the guru, to the spiritual master. Lord Ram, told by Dasharatha, on the day, next day is the coronation as the prince regent, said, go into the forest for exile. Nothing replied back. As he walked in, so did he walk out. He went in with same expression on his face. He came out from Kaikeyi's chamber with the same expression on the face. No change at all. He performs his dharma as a son. He performs his dharma as a disciple to Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni takes Ram and Lakshman for the Sita Swayamvar in Janak's kingdom. And the whole big bow, Shiva Dhanush, is there to break open. And Shri Guru Charan Mataji asked us to speak at the manor school, you know, to the kids. And the little ones, the smallest ones, I was sitting with them and telling them the story of the bow. And when the bow broke open, I was talking about that, everyone made this huge sound, all the little kids. An amazing experience, reliving the story. I was telling them the story. This big, huge bow. Of course, there's too many details to that bow. And how that bow had destructive energy in it. We won't get the details of the story because time is less. That bow was so huge. So huge. It took 8,000 people. 8,000 able-bodied, sturdy men to simply move the carriage on which the bow was kept. And they were 8,000 able-bodied men with no backache. You know, there was not Kali Yuga, man. They had no backache to move it. Despite being absolutely robust and healthy, still when they would push the carriage, after a while they would stop for half an hour to breathe and then push it ahead. Very powerful bow. And one day when Sita was 6 years old, Janak saw that Sita just lifted the bow like this. She just picked up the bow. 8,000 men couldn't move that bow. And this little girl, 6-year-old girl, lifted the bow. Why did she lift the bow? Because there were some flowers and fruits on the tree. She wanted to pull them down. She didn't find anything. She found the bow. She picked it up and she pulled the flowers and the fruits down with the bow. So Janak was thinking, this girl is so powerful. Who can be her husband? Who can handle her arms, you know, when she hugs him? She's too powerful. Janak was thinking like that about Sita. Who will be able to be crushed to powder? She's too powerful. So he arranged for a Swayamvar. And Vishwamitra brought Ram and Lakshman. And the bow was right there, you know. And Vishwamitra gave an instruction to Ram. He said, Vatsaha Ramaha Dhanurpashya. My dear son Ram, Dhanurpashya. See the bow. So Ram went. The instruction was, see the bow. Dhanurpashya. Ram didn't see the bow. He went. He strung the bow and broke the bow open. Broke the bone, destroyed the bow, Shiv Dhanush. And the commentaries explain, this particular verse reveals Lord Ram as an ideal disciple. Because when the instruction comes, behind the instruction there is a mood, there is a vision that the spiritual master gives to the disciple. And the first class disciple is he who doesn't go just by the words. He understands what is the mood behind what is being spoken. You know. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada used to say, first class disciple means he who understands the heart of the spiritual master. You know. Shri Chaitanya Manaha Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Rupa Goswami understood Shri Chaitanya Mana Bhishtam, the desire of Lord Chaitanya. And so did Srila Prabhupada understand the desire of Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. When he wrote that Vyas Puja offering for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, Prabhupada was talking. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada was talking so much. He said, this boy Abhay Babu, he has actually understood. Absolute ascension, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. Vatsya Dhanur, Vatsa Rama Dhanur Pashya. First class disciple understands what is the mood behind the instruction. Second class disciple, he says, oh, Guru Maharaj said, go see the bow. So he goes, sees the bow and comes back. Vatsa Ram Dhanur Pashya. He said, go see the bow. So he goes, sees the bow and comes back. Literally, which is good. At least follows the instruction straight. Prabhupada said, second class disciple is someone who may not understand the heart, but whatever is told to do, he at least does that. And the third class disciple is, he says to Vishwamitra, you go see, why you're asking me to see? You know, you go and see the bow. You know, why are you telling me to go and see? You go and see the bow. You see. And therefore, Ram was dharmagya. An expert disciple, understood the subtle nuances of how to be a disciple, understood the heart, and then went, broke the bow. And as soon as the bow was broken, it had all these gems scattered all over Janak's palace in Mithila. And immediately, you know, Janak Maharaj came and said to Ram, I am Sitaha Mama Suta. This is Sita, she is my daughter. Is it a new information? Everyone in the world knows, everyone who assembled there knows, Sita is the daughter of Janak. Why is he saying this? I am Sitaha. This is Sita. Mama Suta. She is my daughter. Why? He wanted to take Lord Ram out of his confusion. Because all these gems were scattered all over. Sita's reflection was there in all these different gems all over. So Janak was thinking, hopefully he doesn't put a garland on one of the reflections. So he was saying, I am Sitaha. Mama Suta. This is the one. The original Sita. Please put the garland. And then he did Kanyadan. In every wedding, traditional Vedic wedding, there is Kanyadan. And in this Kanyadan, he put the hand of Sita above the hand of Lord Ram.
When he gave Sita in marriage to Ram, he put the hand of Sita above the hand of Ram. Why? Ram represents law and Sita represents love. Krishna, Ram go by law. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, Srimati Radharani is the feminine counterpart of God, the divine mother. And in one lecture on Radhashtami, Srila Prabhupada says, so now you can go to Srimati Radharani and say, oh Radharani, oh divine mother, oh mother of the world, Jagan Mata, I am useless. Here is a flower I have brought for your Krishna. He loves you. You please offer it to Krishna. Oh Jagan Mata, you please, you can see it is in the Veda base. You please offer this flower to Krishna, you know. And therefore, when law and love combine, there is hope. There is hope when there is law and love. Father and mother, law to discipline and love to forgive. That is Sitaram, that is Radha Krishna, that is Lakshmi Narayan, you know. Simply disciplining doesn't work. There has to be law and love. And without going through Sita, without going through Mother Hara, there is absolutely no hope. And Mother Hara is represented in this world by the spiritual master, by the Vaishnavas. Their tender heart, her tender heart comes through the devotees, you know. And when we experience that inspires us in our devotional service, in our Krishna consciousness. Lord Ram performed as Dharmagya his duties as an ideal husband. As a son, he was obedient. As a disciple, you know, he knew what Vishwamitra Muni wanted. As a husband, he was an ideal husband, taking care of Sita. And if Ram was Dharmagya, my God, she was Dharmacharini. She's addressed in the Ramayana, Valmiki's Ramayana, as Dharmacharini. One who knew the subtle nuances of Dharma. At a point of time when they were exiled to go to the forest, as Lord Ram was getting ready, Sita said, even I would like to go. Ram said, you cannot go. And this is for the first time that Sita gave it to Ram. She just lost it. There's only one instance in Ramayana where Sita chastises Ram. You know, I was saying this in one talk and all the ladies were very happy. You know, they said, now we have a reference to... We have a reference to take care. Only one instance. He talks to Ram and she says, you are a coward. You are a coward. Said, I am regretting. My father, Janak, gave me in marriage to a coward. What is this? He's such a cowardly person that he doesn't have confidence that he can protect his wife in the forest from demoniac personalities and unwanted forces. He's so scared to take his wife along. And Ram understood what she meant. So Ram said, okay, come on, take all these other garments, put on Valka, let's go. You know, why is she called Dharmacharini? Because even behind that chastisement, apparent chastisement, was a service attitude. That you will go there. I have come here. I have been given to you to serve you. And if I stay here enjoying the luxuries and comforts of the palace, you would be in the forest wearing tree bark. Can't take it. In fact, in the Ramayana, she says, my dear Lord, I will walk in front of you and pave the way for you to walk by removing all the thorns on your way so that you can walk with not a single thorn pricking you on the foot. And what it means is, I shall walk in front of you, which means Ravan will kidnap me, to pave the way for you, to build the bridge, and come to Sri Lanka, and remove the thorn of Ravana, which is plaguing this planet Earth, you know. Dharmacharini. If Lord Ram is Dharmagya, in the Ramayana she is addressed as Dharmacharini. Even the apparent external things that he is doing, there is a service attitude. Ramayana is full of service attitude. Everywhere around, all the characters in the palace of Ayodhya, all the residents of Ayodhya, behind whatever they do, externally if they are chastising or they are praising, there's only one thing in the mind. We want to serve Lord Ram. Service. That is Sambandha. Sambandha Gyan is, I am a servant. You know, if one takes a job in a company
and goes to a company, the first thing that the company has to give the guy who's taken a job is, what is your sambandha? Who are you in the company? If you're the boss, then you will act accordingly. If you're a manager, you will act accordingly. Sambandha gyan is important even in the corporate world. Without knowing who one is and what is his connection to the company, his activities will not be right. If he's supposed to be the boss and he's just working on the shop floor, he's doing the wrong thing. When one joins in ISKCON, the first thing that we are given is sambandha gyan. Jiver swarupa hoy Krishner Nityadas. And if this sambandha is clear and this value system within is clear, then one's lifestyle is based on that. Therefore, the internal value system is, I am the servant. Anyone who has that spirit, one's words and actions automatically follow suit. When the value system is not in place, externally, no matter what one speaks in terms of saying, how can I serve you, and acts in a mood of service, well, it has some worth. It has some value because it's connected to Krishna. But what truly matters is the internal value system. Therefore, Sita is saying, hey, you're a coward and you're doing this and that. But the value system behind is, I simply want to serve, you know. The whole Ramayana is about tests and relationships. Sita is chastising Ram. You know, Lakshman is being misunderstood by Sita. You came here to the forest to enjoy me. Go, your brother's shouting. The demon's attacking him. Go. Misunderstands that you come here only to enjoy me. That was your agenda. And Ram misunderstands Lakshman. Why did you leave her alone? Chastising him. I told you not to leave her alone. He doesn't say why. Well, she was the one who was chastising. Quiet, you know. Ram is chastising. Sita is misunderstanding. Lakshman misunderstands Bharat. Vashishta misunderstands Bharat. Guha misunderstands Bharat. My God, that book, Ramayana, is a thesis on relationships. There's so much misunderstanding. Some of these personalities. But where there is trust in relationship and understanding, then even if there is apparent withdrawals, that only makes the relationship go deeper eventually. In the Ramayana, all relationships are like sugarcane, you know. Twist the sugarcane under the crusher. Bend it. Chop it. It still keeps giving sweet juice. You see, if you go to India, in that crusher, sugarcane juice, when you put it through that, 10 times you remove it, 20 times you remove it, it's being crushed in those two rollers. Still, it continues to give the last bit. The drop of sugar, sweet sugarcane juice comes out. If we carefully read Ramayana, we see that. All these relationships, sometimes, you know, there is so much misunderstanding, so much kind of, you know, going on all there. But the sweetness of relationships keeps going. And therefore, Lord Ram is said to be Dharmagya, one who understands the subtle intricacies, nuances of application of Dharma as a son, as a disciple, as a husband, as a friend. Then the next quality explained by Valmiki is Kritagya cha. Kritagya means someone who is grateful, you know, extremely grateful. Lord Ramchandra has this quality of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude is what makes a devotee advance in Krishna consciousness. If there is gratitude, there is automatically there is humility, you know. When there is gratitude, gratitude yields. Gratitude is the womb of humility. Humility is born out of the principle of gratitude. Lord Ram was so extremely grateful for the slightest favors done to him and was willing to keep aside all the faults. And in a Vaishnava community, when the focus is on trying to see what is the good that is being done and trying to always look the small discrepancies and the faults and the shortcomings, one feels encouraged and appreciated then to deal with those shortcomings. When one feels appreciated and encouraged, that appreciation and encouragement is the strength to work on the shortcomings and weaknesses, you know. Lord Ram, extremely grateful. Hanumanji, after finding Sita, flew back from Lanka. And as he returned back from Lanka, he saw Ram standing, sure, eagerly waiting. And this is a Tamil thing. Tamil, in Tamil, I can't repeat the Tamil, but the English translation is this. Hanuman started shouting, "Found Sita, I! Found Sita, I!"
So Ram said, "Come again."
Hanuman said, "Found Sita, I!"
Ram said, "I think you need to go back to school.
Get the grammar right, man. What are you saying, found Sita, I? Why can't you say, I found Sita?"
Hanuman said, "My dear Lord, you have been eagerly waiting to get the news of what happened to Sita.
The first thing that I need to speak is what happened, found.
Which means your heart now, there is peace and solace, found, finally."
Said, "Okay, that is all right. Then why didn't you say, found I, Sita? Why you said, found Sita, I?"
Hanuman said, "My dear Lord, who am I? Who am I to do it, the stupendous task of finding Sita? It is you and your power that has found Sita. I simply went as an instrument to get her. So I should come at the last. Found Sita, I." So a great devotee like Hanuman, even in his speech he does seva. Even while he's speaking, there is service attitude behind how to say it. First thing the Lord should know, found. Found Sita, I. You know, Srila Prabhupada, my God. Srila Prabhupada said, "I've created a Vanar Sena. All my disciples was like the Vanar Sena of Lord Ram. And together we've crossed the oceans to rescue Sita. You know, rescue Sita, bhakti and wealth of America. To bring it to set ISKCON and serve my spiritual master." You know. And Thomas Hopkins once said, Prabhupada was amazing, you know. He went to a place where he had never been before. Met people whom he had never met before. Gave a message that had never been given to them before. And made them to do things that they had never done before. Jesus Christ was great, undoubtedly. But he preached to his own people. He was born, brought up in Israel. You know, he knew the people, he knew the culture. Srila Prabhupada came to a culture which was so alien to him, you know, and preached. Such incredibly, Thomas Hopkins said, he did something unprecedented and unparalleled. It was unprecedented. No one did it before like that. And unparalleled. No one can compare to someone like Srila Prabhupada. Said incredible what he did. And then he said, he went and preached to the hippies then, who were rebelling without a cause and rebelling without a pause. Constantly just going on, and he was trying to give Krishna consciousness to them and brought them to serve Lord Ram, serve Lord Krishna, you know. Like Hanuman went to rescue Mother Sita across the ocean, Srila Prabhupada crossed the ocean on the Jaladuta and brought these people to serve Krishna, to serve Sita Ram. And he was so grateful. Ram was so grateful when he got that news. He hugged Hanuman out of his gratitude. And he said, "Hanuman, I'm sorry. I truly don't have more than this now. I'm out of Ayodhya. This is all I have to give you. What more? You know, what more could anyone have ever got? The personal hug of Lord Ramchandra. You know." And then Srila Prabhupada, so grateful for the little things done by his devotees, his disciples. My God, you can read in the purports, the only one disciple that has found her way into the purports of Srila Prabhupada. No one is in the purports. No one's name is mentioned in the purports of Srila Prabhupada except one. Govindadasi. Srila Prabhupada writes the name of Govindadasi. And so, our Govindadasi has taken the task of growing Tulsi Maharani in the Western world, and she's doing it so well, something to that effect. Only one person. So grateful for what? Was it a big thing? There were so many people who did so many things. Was it a very big thing? Why he was so grateful for this tiny thing that she is growing Tulsi in the Western world, and that purport to the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj's purport, my God. Every time we read that, can't help but have tears in the eyes. When Srila Prabhupada comments in that purport, Suniti, Dhruva is going back, and Prabhupada writes, you know, if only one of my disciples can become like Dhruva Maharaj, by his connection to him, even I will go back home, back to God. My God, incredible humility and gratitude. And George Harrison Prabhu, He would call him Shriman George Harrison Prabhu. Final days in Vrindavan, lying there in his quarters, ascending to the spiritual world soon. And he calls the servant, takes off the ring from his hand, finger. And who is on his mind? Last moments, final moments. Who is on his mind? You know, when the last moment, to have someone on the mind is an achievement. Whoever it is an achievement to be on Prabhupada's mind at the final moment, you know. He pulled this ring out and gave it and said, please give it to Shriman George Harrison Prabhu. Bhaktivedanta manner, you know. Such a testimony of the fact and how he preached through his singing. How many people became devotees because of the songs that George Harrison Prabhu sang. Prabhupada was so grateful for every little thing that was done. And then when he gave shelter to Vibhishana, you know, when Lord Ram gave shelter to Vibhishan, quite an amazing story. When Vibhishan got shelter, Lord Ram, I mean, the war hadn't even begun. He just gave shelter to him. Asked Lakshman, Lakshman, go get some water from the ocean. Lakshman got the waters and Lord Ram took the waters and put it on the head of Vibhishan and said, I coronate you to be the king of Sri Lanka. Hey, the battle is not over. Ravan is not killed. Nothing has happened yet. And immediately, I coronate you as the king of Sri Lanka. And when Lord Ram did that, he had tears in his eyes. He was crying. He said to Vibhishan, while weeping, torrents of tears, he said to Vibhishan, you know what? I killed Bali and made Sugriva the king. I even am making you the king, my dear Vibhishan, now. And what to speak of you? Even my sandals, my padukas, my shoes are sitting on the throne of Ayodhya ruling as a king. And he started crying more. He said, but I could not make Jatayu as the king. That Jatayu, he gave his life for me. And I could not make Jatayu as the king. And Lord Ram started crying. Remembering the sacrifice that Jatayu had done to save Sita, he was weeping. And Mother Sita, how grateful she was. When she was rescued and when they came back to Ayodhya, they were, you know, in India they have this gulal, they call it gulal. You know, this red powder which they sprinkle in any festival, all this like holy, and all this red powder they just sprinkle in the air. When Sita saw this red color, she started crying. And she was remembering the blood, red blood shed by Jatayu for her cause. And therefore, Kritagya means grateful. And of course, the qualities of Lord Ram go on. The next quality of his is Satyavakya. Satyavakya means one who is very truthful to his word. Will never go back on his word. And therefore, there were so many who were trying to desist Lord Ram. Kausalya said, you don't need to go. Your father says, don't go. Lakshmana, he was so upset. He said, don't go. I'll kill Dashrath. Lakshman gets, you know, really heavy. So I'll kill Dashrath for having them. Lakshman, don't go. In fact, his preceptor, Vashishta, said, don't go. But Satyavakya kept his word, you know. Went to the forest. And of course, the last one is Dridhavrataha. Dridhavrataha means he's firm in his vow. And what is the vow he makes? When Vibhishan comes to surrender, Srila Prabhupada's, one of his favorite verses was this. And he quoted this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. From the Ramayana, this was Prabhupada's favorite verse. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, he quotes this verse. Sakrideva prapannoyas tavasmi itiyache abhayam sarvada tasmai dadammi tadvratam mama. He says to Vibhishan and others, if someone just comes to me even once, comes to me and once says, my dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours, I shall give him complete shelter and protection. This is my vow. Even if Ravan comes today, Sugriva asks, what if Ravan comes today and takes shelter and will you forgive him? Lord Ram said, yes. Even if Ravan comes today, I shall forgive all his misdeeds and give him shelter. Because that is my firm vow. Dridhavrataha. That anyone who takes shelter of me, I protect him. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashyati. My devotee shall never perish.
And therefore in the Valmiki Ramayana we find these first three verses, there are 16 qualities, but this first verse has six qualities, which we talk about Gunavan, which is Saushilya. Big, but without discrimination, can come and make oneself accessible to all. Second is Viryavan, which is courageous and valorous. Ram killed Tataka, Subahu, Maricha and so many demons, and so does a devotee fight against the material energy with his weaponry and with the ammunition of the holy name of Krishna. The third is Dharmagya, how Lord Ram knew the subtle nuances of Dharma and played each of his roles as a husband, as a disciple, as a son, as a friend so thoroughly well. The fourth quality is Kritagya, that of gratitude, you know. Grateful to Hanuman, grateful to Sugriva, grateful to Jatayu. Extremely grateful for all things that are done to him. Satyavakya, never deviates from truth. Always keeps his word. So many tried to desist him from going to the forest. Kept his words. And finally, Dridhavrataha means he is one of a solemn vow and he makes the vow. That I shall prove. Whoever comes and says once, I am yours, my dear Lord, I'll protect him. I'll give him a Vahidan. And he showed it by giving shelter to Vibhishana. And on behalf of Lord Ram, Srila Prabhupada has made a promise to all of us. If one simply chants 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra daily, follows the four principles in the association of devotees, he said, I'll take you all back to Godhead. And on behalf of Lord Ramchandra, a pure devotee can make that vow, you know. Dridhavrataha. And we simply remain together and practice Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees, as Srila Prabhupada taught us based on his teachings, then yes, Lord Ram is Dridhavrata and a pure devotee representing him is Dridhavrata. That is our hope, that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, ultimately we can go back to the lotus feet of the Lord to serve him in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna Jai. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Shri Ram Navami Mahamahotsav Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.